As you know, the first four books of the New Testament are known as the Gospels. Well, gospel means good news. So this good news is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
There was something I always wished for, but dared not speak it aloud. Yet, I couldn't stop believing that it might be right over the horizon, like the first dawn of light. I felt it occasionally stir inside of me. I just didn't know where to find it. Peace. That was the wish. Peace on earth, peace in my soul, peace even when peace didn't make any sense in the world. Was it even possible? Peace that shook free all the burdens that clung so tightly to us, that gave assurance when the world rumbled with wars and rumors of wars. Could there be that kind of peace? Then, like all the best surprises do, that peace I dared not hope for too hard, dared not dream about too much, came in the very way I wished peace might come. Unexpectedly, in the restless cries of a baby, against the odds. Peace to those unable to find it. Peace to those who weren't even searching for it. Peace, swaddled, offered, gifted. The Messiah.
So we're in this series, this new series that we're right in the middle of, called The Heart of Christmas. And in this series, we've been discovering the true meaning of the season and the gifts of hope and peace and joy and love that Christ brought us through his miraculous birth. Last week, we began with the hope that is at the heart of Christmas. We see the faithfulness of God from his prophetic word about Jesus' future coming and the fulfillment of all that in this world that Jesus' birth, all the prophecies that were in that Old Testament leading up to Jesus being born, which gives us confidence that we can place our hope in him. No matter what we face, God is right on time, and he'll meet us in our time of need. And today we're going to look at another aspect of the heart of Christmas, and that's the wonderful offer of peace. And this is one of my favorite themes at Christmas that came from the angel's announcement of peace on earth. And so let's just think about peace for a moment. Peace. Stillness. Quietness in the soul. Have you ever been in a situation where there was no peace? Only constant tension and walking on eggshells, being careful not to say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, imply the wrong thing. I lived that life for a very long time, for years trying to establish peace in my home, but always there's this underlying tension. And then through a series of events, I found myself in a separation that was kind of just forced upon me. And in that, I rediscovered peace. It had been so long since I'd felt peace that I had completely forgotten what peace felt like. It gave me just a small glimpse of what it must be like for people who live in a war zone and have a ceasefire come about after months, maybe even years of the constant noise and the tension of war. Peace. Stillness. Silence. It's like going from city life with all the traffic noises up north where the only sound you hear at night is maybe an occasional owl and some rustling of the leaves. Peace. Stillness. Silence in our soul. If you have kids at home, or maybe when the grandkids come to visit, you'll try a little experiment with them, and while you're driving somewhere, just turn off the radio. Make sure they're not listening to anything in their earbuds, and just see how long they can handle silence in the car. See who's the first one to break that silence with a question like, are we almost there yet? We're not a society that is very comfortable with silence. We are a society that no longer knows how to have a peaceful, civil conversation with someone who's on the opposite side of our politics, or opposite side of what we believe about religion, or the opposite side of about any issue of today. Want to have a little fun and start an explosion in your next Christmas get-together? Bring up the reality that in a few weeks, you know, Trump will be president again. Or bring up the idea of abortion, or talk about what racism, or maybe whether the concepts of diversity, equity, inclusion have been good or bad for our country, and just watch the fireworks explode. Peace. It's such a beautiful thing when you have it. And peace is what this season's all about. The reason for Jesus' birth is God's deep desire to see his creation no longer broken and in conflict, but rather restored and at peace. The Christmas story in the Bible begins with an unlikely, just a really unlikely group of people. The first announcement of the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem was given to a multitude of heavenly angels, to a group of shepherds who were just out in the field at night watching their flocks, trying to keep them safe. You know, we heard Quentin read this story last week, and then Jan read it again today, but I want to go through this one more time, this Christmas story that we find in Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to start all the way up, go all the way through to verse 20, and just kind of use your imagination as you hear these familiar words again, just kind of live in the moment. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. Could you imagine? That would have just been crazy. And they were terrified. And the angel assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Can you picture it? That just must have been incredible to have seen. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Oh, what an incredible story to hear. We hear every year, and it becomes so familiar, but man, to get ourselves in the middle of it and experience what that must have been like. Now, shepherds in the first century Israel were individuals who existed on the very fringes of society. They had what was considered one of the worst jobs. They were just thought to be stinky, dirty, and rather untrustworthy people. People thought the only reason someone would be a shepherd was if they couldn't get any other job. And so they lived on their own for months, and as they traveled with their flocks, and it just would have been shocking to the first readers of the book of Luke that these were the people God chose to entrust with such an important message that the peace of God is for all people, even those who no longer fit into polite society. And so the angels had to steady the shepherds by telling them not to be afraid, because they were just terrified in their presence, as I'm sure probably most of us would have been. And the message they brought was good news, because a baby had been born who was the long-awaited Messiah, the one who had been promised so long ago. They had been waiting for hundreds of years for this baby that has arrived suddenly, who was there to rescue God's people. The angels told them where to find Jesus, and before they left on their search, a heavenly host spoke over them this message of peace to those with whom God is pleased, or as other translations said it, in whom God's favor rests. Jesus was ushering in peace. Now, for about 8 years back in my life, several years ago, God had allowed me to step out of ministry, of working for a church as a pastor, for a time of healing for me and for my family. And during that time, God opened up the door for me to be a part of a contemporary Christian praise and worship band. And one of the places this we went to every year to do a concert was an inner city mission in Columbus, Ohio. It was in a basement of a church. And let me just tell you, a basement of a church is a terrible place to put a drum set and guitars connected to amps. Okay? But we went every year, and we loved it. It was our favorite concert of the year. And the people who we played for and ministered to, these people had nothing. They lived in the poorest and most dangerous place in Columbus, a place that even cops didn't really like to go into. And many of them were struggling with addictions. But they sang along with us, and they sang with all their hearts. It was so much fun to lead them in worship. And when they opened up their souls to worship, they did it with everything they had. Because, see, they had already lost their dignity. And they had lost their pride, and had lost most of their ambitions and dreams. So they had no hang-ups with worshiping God with everything they had left, their body and spirit. And what I learned from these concerts was that the good news of God is for all people from all walks of life. Jesus was born for them as much as he was born for me. In one survey that I read about, nearly one-third of those questions said, of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified the most with the shepherds. I mean, the shepherds, they were average, ordinary people. And yet they were invited to see the birth of the King of Kings, the Messiah. They were the least likely, but they got the best invitation in town. And what I find incredibly amazing is that God, when he wanted to announce Jesus' birth, didn't do it to kings and queens who had the influence to let people know and make changes, or even priests and other religious leaders. He announced it to the poor and the forgotten. It truly is good news, because if God's favor was offered to the shepherds, then surely God's favor and peace is available to us as well. It is the world's greatest need. From the time sin entered this world and affected all of creation, from that time on, we've been at odds with God. The Bible says that we were enemies of God and in rebellion against his rule and his reign. Sin didn't just stop there, though. It also caused us to be in conflict with one another and ourselves. And this is why Jesus' birth is such good news. It is the ultimate answer to the brokenness that exists because of sin. Brokenness between ourselves and God. Brokenness between ourselves and others. And even brokenness in our own inner voice. That's why Paul put it. This is the way that Paul put it as he wrote to the church in Colossae. Paul was expressing the role that Jesus plays in ushering in and making peace. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything, and anything was created, and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. This is the Jesus that we worship. This is the Jesus that was born on Christmas Day. This is God becoming flesh for us. Continuing on verse 18, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead, so he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. And so now we get to the part that Jesus is making peace in this world. He, that's God the Father, made peace with everything in heaven on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes those of you who were far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now, he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've knelt at the cross and asked for God's forgiveness, and if you're walking with him each day, if you're remaining in God, purposely staying connected to God, being a disciple, walking in obedience to his will, then because of Jesus' death on a cross, then resurrection from the dead, you are holy. Have you thought of yourself as being holy? You are set apart. You are blameless. You stand before God without a single fault. Your past is forgotten. Your mistakes are wiped away. You are forgiven. You belong to God. You are no longer your own. Your eternity it's secure. You are a child of God as you remain connected to him. So understand the peace that is ushered in Christmas time. We have to understand that although Jesus arrived in this cradle, his life would then lead to a cross. And Jesus intentionally lived a sinless life and willingly offered his life up through crucifixion. Paul says it's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes peace between us and God. Christ's sacrifice on that cross pays for the sins that we've committed. It appeases God's anger towards that sin, and it destroys the power of evil that was in our lives. Being reconciled to God, it's the key to experiencing peace in every other area of our life as well. And so the peace of God, it's for all people. And it's Jesus who reconciles us to God. When we receive the gift of forgiveness that sins offered to us by faith, we become a child of God. God becomes our Heavenly Father, and he offers us his power through his Holy Spirit to help us navigate the difficulties of life. Now, some people make the mistake that if I give my life to Jesus, then most of those difficult things are just going to go away. God's going to take care of them. I'm not going to have to go through them. And of course, if you've walked with God for very long, you know that's not true. But we can go to him for guidance. We are promised His presence in our life. And so when these difficult problems come, we know that we have God with us. Pastor and speaker Dr. Tony Evans said it this way: peace does not mean you won't have any problems. Peace means that your problems won't have you. If you think about that, that's a pretty deep statement. You're still going to have stuff in life, but that stuff's not going to own you if you give those problems to God. The peace of offered to us on whom God is pleased does not equate to the absence then of conflict in our life. We'll still have these circumstances that don't go our way, or challenging relationships that we need to figure out how to navigate, or painful circumstances that are deeply unfair and hurtful. But what it does promise is the presence of God in our lives. If He is with us, then we have nothing to fear. We can go to Him for guidance and strength. We can lean on Him when we're feeling weary. He promises to bind up our wounds when we've been hurt. He promises to restore what the enemy of our soul has taken from us. God's desire for us is to make peace with ourselves. Every past mistake, personal struggle, deep wounds, or worry for the future, all that is met with the love and grace of God. We also make peace with others. Because of the forgiveness that we have from God that's been given to us, we now can be able to take that grace that's been given to us and help transform other people's lives with that same grace to them. So as we get closer and closer to Christmas Day, and we're moving through this season that we call Advent, and Advent comes from a Latin word that means arrival. Jesus' first coming was the arrival of God's light of the world, like sitting around a Christmas tree at night and just having that glow of God's presence washing over us, where it calms our fears and it steadies our hearts. At Christmas time, we also make note of another Advent that is yet to come, a second time, one in the future where Jesus will return and He promises to make everything right once and for all. His peace, it covers our past. It meets us in our present, and it is a promise for the future. And so the peace of God is for all people, and it's Jesus who reconciles us to God. And once we've been reconciled to God, then peace becomes our purpose, our calling. What the world needs more of is people who have the peace of God in their hearts, who are willing to share that peace with others. It's not optional for us who embody this peace. It's an expectation that Jesus has of His followers. Joining God and making the world a better place is one of the purposes of our lives. In fact, Jesus speaks to this in the middle of His most famous sermon called the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, where He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." And the angels told the shepherds that peace was available to those on whom God is pleased. Jesus said something similar when He stated that peacemakers will be blessed and they'll be called children of God. When we're willing to seek reconciliation with others and fight for harmony rather than sowing dissension, we are identified with the very heart of God who longs to reconcile the world to Himself. When we bring peace into a situation, we look like our Heavenly Father, and we're recognized as children in His family. We find peace at the heart of Christmas because God's desire is for us to be in a right relationship with Him. His desire is for us to be in a right relationship with ourselves and then also with others. It's the very reason that Jesus came to this earth. And there, you know this, there are many people who just don't seem to value peace in their relationships. And so they just seem to be in this constant state of conflict. It just seems like some people are looking for a fight because they just, maybe they're bored. I'm not sure. They're always looking for something to start up, to get going, to poke the right button, to see how the explosion can happen. And they just have this conflict constantly. It reminds me of what Linus said to Charlie Brown, and it's a Charlie Brown's Christmas. Well, Charlie Brown's having trouble getting into the Christmas spirit, and Linus observed, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who could take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem." Maybe you know someone like that. Unfortunately, this is the outcome for people who believe Christmas is about other things besides hope, peace, joy, and love. This Christmas, may we be people who embrace the gift offered to us through Jesus, who died for us so we might live in a right relationship with God, ourselves, and others. The praise band is going to come up at this time. But before we sing the song, I want to offer an invitation. As I shared at the beginning of this sermon, I remember a time back in my life when I did not have peace in my life, where it had been so long that I had pretty much forgotten what it felt like, and I lived like that for many, many years. Home was a place that I could not escape conflict, and I was constantly walking on eggshells trying to avoid sparking the next flare-up. And maybe you're going through a time in your life where circumstances has stolen your peace. You know, Jesus is there, but you just don't feel the peace in your soul right now. It could be from family issues. It could be from a difficult health challenge that's just been going on and on and on and on. It might be from just a bunch of stress at your job. There are many circumstances that can steal our peace. And Jesus is there in your life, but all you feel is this tension, and your spirit is wounded, and it's been hard for you to catch a breath, let alone feel peace. And because you don't feel at peace, you're struggling to hold on to hope that I talked about last Sunday. And when peace and hope feel far from you, depression and despair can quickly take up residence inside of your emotions and in your thoughts. And if this describes you, or maybe it describes someone that's close to you that you would like to be anointed for, I want to just in a moment invite you to come forward. And Laura's going to help me this morning, and we're just going to anoint you, pray over you, and anoint whatever it is in your life that needs some healing, that needs peace in it. And so as we stand, let's stand now. As we stand and sing this song, "Find You Here," I just want to invite you that if you would like to come forward, either to Laura or myself, we will anoint you while we're singing this song.